Hey, just let me say you hopped up on the stage like you did a while ago. I used to could do that. No, I know my limits. If you think I'm going to try that and give y'all laughing material, you're crazy. Guys, we forgot to pray for one set of folks that I know, and I'm glad Michael handed me that. This thing that happened in Chattanooga this week, my first thought was this is a little close to home. And it is. I'd like to pray for them before we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this family of Marines up to you. And my, how they must be struggling with their losses and then the spotlights on them, and in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's not, and it should be. And I pray that they look to you and be guided by you. And I know they'll be loved by you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to start a new series in a couple of weeks, but today I'm just going to kind of talk to you about some things that maybe just kind of, I've been wondering about this week, maybe 2 weeks, and kind of learned a little bit about. But I want to talk to you about walking with God for life and how to do that. And out of the Bible, John wrote a couple of small books in there. But 1 John 1, let's just jump right into it at the top of the outline. It says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." John gives us this invitation to walk with God throughout our lives. And there's 5 things that he invites us to do to step up to this walk. I want you to go ahead and write these down. Number one, the first thing we need to do is to choose fellowship with God daily. Choose fellowship with God daily. In this passage, John uses the word fellowship, I think it's 4 times. And remember, we talked about fellowship a lot, and fellowship was one of the 5 purposes that we have for our lives and what we're made for. But what's interesting to me in this is that 3 of the 4 times that John mentions fellowship is not in context with one another, horizontal, but the fellowship we have with God vertically, just our fellowship with Him. And when we get to talking about God, we got to talk about the distinction and draw a distinction between the relationship with God and the fellowship with God. You know, because at the cross, we come to know Jesus Christ. Just like last week after this service, a young couple came up, and I don't know if you guys know this, not most of you already gone, but they gave their lives to Christ. And so they began this relationship with Christ. And at the moment that we open up and put our lives His Spirit, when we give our lives to Him, His Spirit comes inside of us and our spirit, and then our spirit comes alive to God. And that happened. That happened right there last week. You know, and now you guys have life with God. But the aspect that I really want to pound home today is about our life with God, our fellowship with God. But let's first look at it my relationship to God, and we're going to look at that. And so, but three times he's talking about fellowship. But let's look at the relationship aspect. Our relationship, mine, yours, it has to do with our standing in Christ. I have standing with God because of Christ. And my standing with God has everything to do with the fact that when I received Him into my life, Jesus comes in and I'm now in Christ because of Christ and in me, and I stand in relationship to God in Him. You know, and it gives me this kind of external connection to God. And I have rights, you know, because I have standing with Him as one of His children. And so my relationship with God is settled eternally, securely, by what He has done for me. Not anything that I've done. My relationship is done and it's settled because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. The fancy Bible word for that is called justified. Romans 5 says this: since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And that's our standing with God. But let's look at what John's talking about here by fellowship. And I wanted to talk about relationship briefly because people kind of put them together, and they're not. They're very different. Very different. And so our fellowship with God is walking with God in Christ's likeness. Basically, my fellowship is my friendship with God. It is a friendship with God. You know, and you've seen this before. I don't have to tell you about this. Folks can have a relationship but be estranged. I told the 9 o'clock service I couldn't wait to use that word. I was reading a book and I saw that word, and I really like estranged. And so I was trying to find where to put it. But y'all know what I'm talking about here. Parents, and I see this where I work at the funeral home, parents can have an estranged relationship where they haven't spoke to their kids in years. And spouses, husbands and wives, can live together and be estranged. They can have a relationship. He's a husband, she's a wife, but they don't talk to one another. They don't have fellowship. You know, they can go long periods without talking. Amen. Y'all ain't gonna say that. No, y'all no. No, no, mine's perfect. I'm gonna tell you that. We talk all the time. Mine talks too much, but I ain't gonna say it. But fellowship, and what I mean by that is fellowship is determined daily and not eternally by what I do with Him. Y'all get that at all? My fellowship with God is determined by what I do and say daily with Him. My friendship is, you know, and when I walk with Him, when I consciously walk with Him, that's where I'm made holy. The church word for that is sanctified. Or set apart. You know, and as we walk with Him, salvation and the eternal life, it's just not something that God does for us. I mean, writing our name in the book of life and in heaven is not just something that He does. Salvation is something that God does to us, and He does in us and with us. God gave us a relationship to Him because He really, really desires fellowship with us. And what I mean by that, it's kind of like stereo. I got on my mower the other day, and a lot of you guys know I wear these red Beats. I really like them because I can't hear the mower going, and I can just crank the music up. Well, I put my beats on and got on my mower and I could hear the mower. So I'm cranking it up just then I realized I can't hear it out but one ear. And I quickly thought, that ain't no good. It's not in stereo. And so I figured out I'd set my big old tail on the plug and I fixed it and put it back in there. But my point in saying all that stupid stuff is that it ain't good when one speaker's busted. We need to do life in stereo. We need the relationship, but we also need the fellowship. He's designed us to have both. If we, you know, it's hard. I see people trying to do life all the time, you know, without fellowship with God. Oh, I got this relationship with him, but I don't have a fellowship with him. And I want to tell you, when you just live in relationship and not in fellowship with God, you are living beneath your privilege. There's so much out there to walking with God and fellowshipping with him daily. 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 And so we want to walk in the light. We want to walk in fellowship with God. And Jesus explains it in John says, all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light. Other day, most of you guys know when I retired, I started cutting a little grass as a hobby. Now it's become as a job. And in between cuttings, somebody left some papers. And the paper was probably on there the last time I cut it. But be honest with you, I was probably just too lazy to pick it up. And I said, I'm going to pick it up this time. It was in the driveway. I figured they'd pick it up. They wouldn't. But anyway, I picked it up. Then I just had to stand there and watch. Because you know what was under that paper? All kind of bugs. All kind of stuff. And they had a bunch of legs. And they were round and they were long and they were square. And I just watched them. Because you know what happened when I pulled up that paper? They scattered. Man, they were running something. You know why? They couldn't stand the light. They was enjoying the darkness. They loved being under that, out of the light. And it was just dark, and that's where they love. You know, Jesus is saying that that's the way some folks live. They don't want the light. So they're just living the darkness. But something happens. And the Bible here says some people go out in truth. And now they come to the light. They live in the darkness. I call this, Angie's car's got a sunroof. And when we ride in it sometimes, y'all just got to know I probably got an immature mind and still a kid, but When I look up at the sunroof, I'm thinking, man, he can see everything. There ain't nothing hidden from me. He looks right into me. He can see down in our car. He can see me. Nothing's hidden from God. Because my life is a sunroof. And so let me just read you Ephesians 5. In the past you were full of darkness, but now you're full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the things done in darkness, which are not worth anything. He says, you were once a child of the dark, but your eyes are open now. You got your son. You're a child of the light. Live like that. You're a new person. The only way that darkness can come into you is when you turn from the light. You create darkness. You get that? You create your own darkness. People call me a lot. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I screen my phone calls. And what I mean by that is I'm on a lawnmower out in the daylight a lot. You say, oh, so that's why you didn't answer me the other day. Well, sometimes I'm busy and I want to get through, or sometimes I just don't want to talk. But I noticed the other day that when I got a call, it's hot this week, wasn't it? And the sun was out. And when I got the call, I couldn't see the screen. I said, no way I'm answering that. I'm going blind. I ain't answering that. That could be anybody. That could be Dustin calling me. I don't talk to him. So you know what I did? I took and put my back to the sun so I could see the screen. Then I really couldn't see it good enough, so I cupped it. I created darkness. I chose to create this darkness. You and I do that a lot. We put ourselves with our back to the light. You know, we put ourselves in positions that put us in darkness. And we operate there. That's how we get out of fellowship with God. Is we turn away from the light. We consciously turn away from God. And we just walk in darkness. We just walk there. How do we get there? How do we get there, number two? Or how do we get out of darkness? Come clean with God quickly. When you do what's wrong, turn from light into the darkness. Turn from light into the darkness. Be quick to do the right thing about what you did wrong. And the right thing is to turn back to the light. It's really a joke to think, you know, that you've never turned to darkness. There's lots of old habits to break in our lives, aren't they? Lots of them. I mean, you and I, we were a dark dweller for a long time. We were dark dwellers for a long time. But the Word says this, you know what? If you'll confess to God, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive you. So as quickly as you can, turn to Him. This verse also deals with denial. We don't like to admit when we're wrong, do we? We don't like to admit that. But God is calling us to confess our sins to Him. David had this issue for a while, admitting that he was a sinner for a long time. But I was sitting there thinking, I don't even measure up to what I expect to be. I know I don't measure up to what God expects me to be, you know. And then I was thinking about, a lot of people thank me all the time about, you know, it's easy. To be honest with you, it's easy for me to get the big head if I let myself. Because God's doing some amazing things up here through you and everything, but I get the credit for it. You know, and I'm sitting there. But I want to tell you, too, when you mess up, I also get the credit for that, too. But I sit there, and when people compliment me, and I get them a lot, and I'm really thankful for them. I really am. But I had to admit to myself that even some of the best things that I do have a mixture of worthy and unworthy motives. And that hurt. But it was cleansing when I admitted. I just recently done that. When I could admit that, I didn't really do that for completely the right reason. You know, and it's tough. I'm trying to ride with the sunroof open. God says, confess it. Don't hide it. Come into the light. Come into the light. David did it in Psalm 32. It's on the next page. That's tough admitting that to y'all. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was. But my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. I'm going to tell you something about a conscience that's cleaned by God. Ooh, you can sleep. You can nap. Life is so much better when you have a clear and clean conscience before God. And God can do that because of his own Son, Jesus Christ, took our sins on the cross and paid for everything that so God could completely take everything in, take everything away, and forgive us. I want to give you a habit that I learned to do is this: practicing spiritual breathing as needed. Practicing spiritual breathing as needed. Some of you guys will need this habit before you get out of the parking lot. I'm serious. Breathing is just, some of you guys are scientists, you can tell me, but from everything that I gather, this is gems. Breathing is just taking in oxygen. It goes through all this pulmonary system and cleans out your blood. Then when you breathe it out, it's in the form of carbon dioxide, which is basically garbage. That's Jim's way of putting it. And I may be wrong. And no, my wife says I'm never wrong. Maybe thinks I'm never wrong. Maybe that's what it was. But so when we exhale, we just exhale this garbage and we're cleansing breaths. It's what we're doing. We do this over 20,000 times a day normally. It's take cleansing breaths. But spiritual breathing is taking cleansing breaths. Which is just say, God, I walked in the darkness. I was over here in the darkness. I confess, and then I accept your forgiveness. How often do you need to take a cleansing breath like that? How often do you think? I don't think it's just a few. The reason why I say that is a lot of people say, well, I just ask for forgiveness at night. Do you only breathe at night? You wouldn't be doing too good if you only breathed one time in the morning or at night. Because we need to take some spiritual breaths every once in a while, saying, you know, God, help me out. Go to God quickly and practice that. Next thing is confide in his awesome consistency. That's another word I was wanting to use, awesome. I like that word. A lot of young people use it, and I guess I'm trying to recapture my youth. You can have confidence in God's forgiveness because of who he is and not because of who you are. You and I need to confide in his character. The word says he's faithful and he's just and quick to forgive. God always does the right thing. Forgiveness, it just cleanses us. Because I'm going to tell you something, we're not convincing God with our confessions to have mercy on us. It's just his nature. You know, we're just falling into his arms and he's welcoming us and we find his cleansing. One of them, I have two children. I'm not going to say which one does this because then they'll get on me after this. Or done this. But one time, they'd done something in my mind which was really bad. But they wouldn't admit they were wrong. Now, nothing changed. I was still their dad. Relationship, you know, we talked about relationship and fellowship. Nothing changed. I was still their dad. And they're still my kid. That didn't change at all. And I still loved them. But because they had done something and refused to admit they were wrong, something was wrong with our fellowship. I loved them. I was there, you know, I'd fight for them, whatever. I loved them. Nothing changed. I was still their dad. But something was wrong with our fellowship. Y'all see what I'm saying? Finally, that child came to me and said, Dad, I was wrong. Dad, I'm sorry. And I gave him a good quick kick in the butt. No, I didn't. You know what I did? I said, I forgive you. And I love you. And guess what? Our fellowship was restored. Just because of that simple confession that they were wrong. And that's the way God does. He wants, and he says, I want you. I want to have that fellowship with you. But I'm going to tell you, when there's sin in our lives, it messes that vertical relationship up. He says, just confess to me. I'll be quick to forgive. I'll be quick to forgive. So confide in him. 1 John 3 says, This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. And so we know and rely on the God has for us. Knows everything. Now, this used to scare me, especially when I was a teenager, 20-something. God knows everything. I remember one time going out looking. Well, several times. He knows everything. He can see me doing this. I hope he ain't keeping records. And that really scared me. But then as I got older, I thought, and discovered grace, Dustin. He knows everything. He knows everything that I did. He knows everything that's going on in my life. And it says, he loves me anyway. What a deal. That's a sweet thing. That he knows everything about us. We're riding with our sunroofs open, and he loves me anyway. It's because we're riding in the light. Because we're in the light. It's open. Because, you know, for me, it was like going back to school. Y'all got any tattletales in your life? I can't stand a tattletale. Still don't like them. These tattletales, it's my age. But you know what? God said, don't need tattletales. I'm looking through your sunroof. If you're a child of the light, I'm looking through your sunroof. I know everything. They can tell on you all you want to. I already know. And guess what? I love you. I love you. You're mine. You're my child. See, nothing about Jim surprises me. And you know what I really love about God? I told him this week. I said, you know what I like about you most of all? I think you ain't moody. I told him that. Said right there, I said, you ain't moody. Anybody in here moody? I am. I'm going to go ahead and say I am before Angie says, you are. Confide in his awesome consistency. Ephesians 1 says this, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault, all who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. I got a story this week just for Denise. I found this. I read this week. Y'all know J. Paul Getty? Ever heard of J. Paul Getty? At one time, he was one of the most wealthiest men in the world. And I believe in his lifetime, he was the wealthiest American. He was a billionaire. But during his time, he had a 16-year-old grandson that was kidnapped. And he had a ransom note for $17 million. So if you don't give us $17 million, we're going to kill it. Now, Getty could have easily afforded to pay this. But in fact, he suspected his grandson was in on it. And so he wouldn't do it. Well, 3 weeks went by, and the kidnappers kind of getting a little antsy. And so they said, hey, we'll take $3 million. We'll take three. This is a true story from what I read, $3 million. But they cut off one of his ears. And they sent J. Paul Getty one of the ears with that letter and said, if you keep holding it back, every demand is going to have a different piece until we get this $3 million. And the young man's father, which was J. Paul Getty's son, he said, Dad, you know, please, will you give me the money to pay this? J. Paul Getty finally agreed to $2.2 million. Y'all know why? $2.2 million was the maximum that he could deduct from his taxes. Then he gave the other $800,000 to, not gave it to him. He loaned his $800,000 to his son at 4% interest. Did y'all know that? Ain't you glad God don't do that to us? He paid it all. God said, I love you so much, I'm gonna pay it all. I'll give my son. Because the verse says he wanted you. He wanted you so bad that he would give everything. Guys, this is a character you can confide in. You can confide in God's character. Conform to his patient correction in my life. To walk in the light means that I'm driving with my sunroof open. That everything in my life is open before God. And that everything is coming to light about my life. My worthy and unworthy motives. My wife has a saying, she says all the time, God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to see you stay that way. And that's exactly what it was. God says, we'll work on those things. We'll work on those things. I want to tell you, if you're a new Christian, mature Christian, you ain't got to spew out everything at once and become overwhelmed. God said, we'll work on a little bit at a time. You know, I'm patient. We'll work on a little bit at a time. I tell you what I love about God, too, is in high school, when they play football, the coaches will say, okay, here's what you did wrong. Rewind, I want to show you something else you did wrong. Rewind this, I want to show you something else you did wrong. God don't sit there and point out all the wrong things. He says, you know what, we'll work on it a little bit at a time. I'll patiently correct you. He'll work with you. He says, just come clean with me. Come clean quickly. Amen? Last one. Continue in his pathway of life. Continue in his pathway of life. You and I, we walk in the light. We go on this journey of life and light. And I'm not talking about just existing. I'm talking about living. I want to live. Because of who he is, he wants us to be like him, faithful and just. He wants us to be people of purity. God calls us to be people of integrity. That's who he is. When we walk with God, we become people of light. Proverbs 4 says this, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. Look how Jesus worded it. The next verse, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. For living light will flood your path. Guys, if you live in the light, you won't be stumbling. Just as we're closing up now, I want to know, and I need you to ask yourself, are you out of sync with God? Right now, is your fellowship, are you out of sync with him? I think God's saying today, come on back. Come on back. Come quickly. You know, are you stumbling? Are you stumbling? You may have been a Christian for years, but are you stumbling? Maybe life just don't make sense right now. I say breathe. Breathe. A little spiritual breathing. Are you walking in the darkness? Does your life line up, or does your lifestyle line up with what's in the Bible? Breathe. Confess that to God. And I got to tell you, just as a testimony, I've been walking with God for about 25 years now. And it's been an adventure. It's been wonderful. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I want to tell you, Jesus invites you to go on an adventure with him. and live a open sunroof life. Be a child of the light. Maybe an end of the darkness. Maybe you've been choosing to live in the darkness for a long time. I don't believe you're content to live in the darkness. I believe you've made some choices for different reasons to live in the dark. But it is a choice to live in the dark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you paid it all. You paid it all so that we could walk in the light and have full life, that we could have fellowship with you. I thank you for the relationship that began with me a long time ago and lots of these others here. But Lord, sometimes my fellowship gets messed up with you. And like I said earlier, sometimes I had the wrong motives. When I do these great things for you, maybe it wasn't necessarily for your glory. But Lord, I want to ride with the sunroof open, with the top down. I want you to see into my life. So does everyone else here. We want to be children of the light. We got some things in our life that's causing us to stumble, to be out of sync. We're not really living. We're just existing. And that's not what you want. Well, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.